It's recorded in three places in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It is recorded in anywhere from 3 to 6 verses. And yet it's a passage, when you look at all three of them, that has a number of questions that come up. In fact, I've decided to just call it a boatload of questions. A lot of questions that are beyond the boat. A lot of questions that you and I need to ask ourselves, look at ourselves, and be able to understand. And probably there's no question greater than that one found in verse 26, where he said, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. We'll look at that in more detail in just a few moments, but that's a good question for all of us, isn't it? Why are we fearful? There's a lot going on in this world. As a church family, we've seen a lot of things that are kind of fearful in the last few weeks. We've had a helicopter crash with one of our brethren in Christ. He's doing good. In fact, if you didn't get the word yesterday, the last 2 days he's been, after his last surgery, surgery number 8, he was resting well and being able to sleep, being able to put together sentences, words and sentences, and that's a great accomplishment. Last night, I think it was, Bonnie was fixing to leave as visiting hours came to a close, and she noticed that he had fallen into kind of a sleep pattern and sleep breathing, and she reached over to tell him goodnight, and she whispered, "I love you," and she turned to walk out the door, and she heard this sentence, "I love you more." That's a great accomplishment, people. That's God working in a mighty way. We've been to the funeral homes and the cemetery as a church family a lot of times. And I guess I can understand sometimes why life looks like a fearful place. And so the first question that I want to share with you this morning, that's one Jesus asked, why are you fearful? Some people have situations in their home life that's scary. Some people have situations in their spiritual life that's scary. Some people have work or school situations that are scary. Some people have neighbors that they're afraid of. Some people have houses that have been broken into. Some people have health questions. And all of those things you look at and they can look scary. But Jesus asked this question in the spite of this terrible storm that his disciples find themselves in the middle of the sea and the waves are crashing in on the boat and they're being tossed to and fro. And Jesus said, "Why are you fearful?" And the easy answer would be, "Don't you see the storm?" We all have our own storms. But the Bible from the very beginning teaches us that we don't have to be afraid because we never have to walk alone. "Hold my hand, let me stand where no one stands alone." And that's in the church and the family of God. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1, God is talking to Abraham. And there's a frightening situation and the Lord comes to Abraham in a vision and says, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward." God says, "I'm your shield. What do you want to stand behind?" If you get into a situation in life, let's say you're walking down the road and you're walking with your friend and your friend's big and strong and you're not quite as big and quite as strong. And this dog starts charging you. What are you going to do? I know y'all going to stand behind that friend and let the dog get him. What God says is, "I'm the shield. Let the dogs, let the problems, let sin, let Satan come against me. Because Abraham, I'm your shield. You trust in me for protection. Not only am I a shield, but I'm your great reward when you trust in me." Jesus' disciples often find themselves in stormy seas. In Matthew chapter 14, on another occasion, Jesus speaks to them saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." This time Jesus had been up on the mountain praying and he looked down on the sea and he saw the waves and he saw his disciples in the boat and he saw the danger of the waves. And he walks out on the water. And when they come, they say, "Here comes the Lord, here comes Jesus, he's walking on the water." And then he said, "People can't walk on the water," or at least I assume that's what they said, because the next thing they said is, "No, it's his ghost." People have been scared of ghosts for a long time, you know it? In the day of Jesus, these disciples are in the middle of a storm and they can't figure out that Jesus has come out and they say it's his ghost and Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, it's me, it's really me. That I'm available to you, that when there are problems that have come, I'm coming to where you are to help still the storm." In Acts chapter 18 and verse 9, the apostle Paul has Jesus come to him in a dream at night. And Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, but speak and do not keep silent." You see, for those of us who are Christians, those of us who are in Christ, Jesus has a hard time understanding why you're afraid. And the only reason that I can surmise from all of this is we're afraid because our faith sometimes is not as strong as it needs to be. And the problem looks bigger than the Savior. And it seems like we've got more against us than we've got for us. But if Christ be for us, who can be against us? For He is the Creator of the heavens and of the earth. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed." You see, even when you do right, bad things are going to happen sometimes. In fact, sometimes because you take a stand for right, people are going to be ugly to you, mean to you. Sometimes maybe you'll be overlooked or laughed at. So even if you suffer for righteousness' sakes, the Holy Spirit has Peter write, "Do not be afraid of their threats nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that's within you with meekness and fear." You know, sometimes I think we misapply that verse. It's a verse that says when you're scared of something, rely on your hope and your trust in God. And when anybody says, "Why aren't you afraid?" you tell them about your faith in Jesus. You let the Word of God permeate your life to the fact that it changes the way you live. And it changes your belief system. I remember three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, long ago in the Old Testament. And they were going to be cast into the fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow down to another god. When they were confronted about this, they said, "We believe that our God can save us from the fiery furnace, but even if He doesn't, we will not bow down to your God." What are you saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I think they were saying the worst thing you can do is get us to heaven quicker. Now, I know that we don't understand that always in our earthly minds, but that's what these three Hebrews said. We're going to obey God. We trust God. We know that God is able. Daniel was not afraid of the lion's den because he knew who made the lion. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19, Jesus said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am He who lives, He who is dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." Jesus said, because death could not hold me, it cannot hold you. Jesus said, if the worst thing you're worried about is dying, don't worry, because I surpassed death, I rose again, I came up from the grave, and death and Satan and sin couldn't hold me down. So the question that Jesus asked, "Why are you afraid?" is one that the Bible answers with, "Do not be afraid. Trust in God. Believe in Him." But that's not the only question that's asked in Mark chapter 4 and verse 40. Kind of a follow-up question. And it's an interesting question to me because it's one that I ponder. How is it that you have no faith? Now I want you to remember who He's talking to. He's talking to the disciples. He's talking to these people that He spends 3 years of His life preparing for His death, preparing for the kingdom, preparing for His resurrection, His departure from this earth. And He says, how is it that you are afraid? You're supposed to be believers. You're supposed to be my supporters. You're supposed to be my disciples. And yet, those of us today cannot throw any rocks because we have our fearful times as well, even though we know He's been risen from the dead. The psalmist said in Psalm 46, the first three verses, God is our refuge and our strength, and a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and although the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and the waters roar and be troubled, and the mountains shake with its swelling. This may not be an exact translation, but it's a Keith Ellis, South Alabama, kind of what I think he's saying. If the whole world falls apart, don't be afraid, because God is our refuge, and God is our strength. So it doesn't matter if there are earthquakes, and it doesn't matter if there are volcanoes, and it doesn't matter if there are storms, it doesn't matter whatever, though the earth shake with the swelling thereof, do not be afraid, because God is our strength, and He is a very present help in the time of trouble. Matthew records Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 29. Out on that boat, and they were afraid because they thought it was ghosts. It's Peter. Peter is an impetuous fellow. Peter has something to say even when he doesn't have anything to say. Peter's going to open his mouth whether it makes sense or not. Remember when Jesus washed the feet and Peter said, "You'll not wash my feet." Jesus said, "Then you have no part or lot in this matter." And he said, "Well, give me a bath. Wash all of me." He said, "You don't need a bath. You're missing the point. This is a lesson about service." Peter said, "Though they all deny you, I'll never deny you." And Jesus said, "Before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times." Peter, your heart's in the right place. It's your mouth that gives you problems. And I got to tell you, I understand that. Sometimes my mouth gives me problems too. So Peter's out here in this boat, and the waters and the waves and the wind are boisterous, the Bible says. And he was afraid and beginning, and one of the things that he says, "Lord, if it's really you, if it's not a ghost, if you're really who you say, tell me to come out on the water." And he said, "Come on, walk out on the water." And as he began to walk out on the water, something happened. There are a couple of scenes in the Bible I wish I were there. I wish I could have seen this. I can see Peter throw his leg over the edge of the boat, stand on there, test the water, make sure he could stand on it. It was good hard water. That doesn't even make sense, does it? Water's not going anywhere. There are waves everywhere. He steps out on the water and he begins to walk, and immediately he becomes afraid. And the Bible says when he saw the wind, hardest thing in the world to see is wind. Unless you see what the wind blows around. You see that which gets caught up in the wind. You don't see the wind. You see the water. You see the raindrops. You see the debris floating in the wind. You don't see the wind. But when he saw the wind, when he saw the disturbance of the wind, you know what he wasn't looking at anymore? He wasn't looking at Jesus. He was looking at the problem, not the solution. Why are you having a faith problem? Because you take your eyes off of the Savior sometimes. And Peter, verse 30 says, was afraid when he saw that it was boisterous, and he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, "Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt?" And they get into the boat and the wind stops. What's wrong with our faith? How is it that you have so little faith? Jesus is in the storms of life. Every storm we read about in the Bible, Jesus is there, and he brings peace, and we know that he has the power to calm the sea and to get us through the storm and to get us back in the boat and to let us walk on water if we need to walk on water. We know that he has all that power and more, and yet we see the wind and we see the trouble. I like what Jesus said over Matthew chapter 6. It's kind of a fashion statement, you know. Jesus is talking about how we worry about things. He said, "You worry about the wrong things. You worry about what we're going to eat for lunch." Some of you are already worrying about what you're going to have for lunch. He said, others worry about what they're going to wear. Verse 28, he says, "So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field today, and as tomorrow it's thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you?" And there it is again. "O ye of little faith." In Matthew chapter 17 and verse 17, Jesus is more direct when he calls the people a faithless and a perverse generation. And he says, "How long will I be with you? How long will I bear with you?" And yet by the grace of God, he still does. I find in Mark chapter 4 and verse 38 another question that I find a little bit disturbing. That is, Jesus is asleep when all this storming is going on, by the way. And so they come down, they wake Jesus up, and they say, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you know we're dying? Don't you know there's a storm out here? Get up and do something about this." You know, we have a lot of tornado warnings around here. You've probably noticed that if you've lived here very long. My wife is very cautious, and she cares a lot about safety, and we have a plan. It's hers. I mean, she made it. I follow it. But when the sound and the warnings come, we go to the center of the hall and we take our mattress and we take our pillow and we take our dogs and we take our pretty much anything that's important to us, and we crowd between the hall walls and the bathroom walls, and we're in there and we're ready. Except sometimes I fall asleep. I fall asleep and I'm not worried about storm because I'm asleep and I don't know about storm. Not that I don't care, I'm out. And they assume that Jesus was just out asleep down here, and they say, "Don't you care that we're perishing? Carest thou not that we perish?" How can you sleep through this? Jesus cares. He came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus cares. He left heaven to come to earth while we're trying to leave earth and get to heaven. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. And the question was, don't you care that we're perishing? And Jesus says, of course I care. I was going to take care of you all the time. I wasn't ever going to let you sink. And so another question is brought up in Luke chapter 8 and verse 25. Where is your faith? Is your faith in the watchman? Is your faith in the police department? Is your faith in the army? Those are strong entities, but let me say with all due respect to each one, they're nowhere nearly as powerful as my God. What do we put our faith in? Our bank accounts? Well, the stock market took care of that a few years ago for a lot of people. Isaiah used a passage, God gave him a passage. It says, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help. In other words, you're not coming to God for help. You're going to Egypt for help. And rely on horses, the military equipment of the day. And trust in chariots, because they are many. And horsemen, because they are very strong. But look what the next part of the verse says. But who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. We're looking in the wrong place for the wrong thing too many times. If you want security, it's found in trusting in Jesus. Mark chapter 4 and verse 40 and 41, Jesus says to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Matthew records this in Matthew 17 and verse 20. He said, for surely I say unto you, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will be moved, and nothing will be impossible for you. We need to understand what faith really is. But more than that, we need to understand where we place our faith. I don't know how many of you, we don't get a lot of ice, heavy ice here in this part of the world. But if we get ice, and you know what's the first thing I do when I find ice in the bird bath or ice on the road? I always touch it. It never holds me up. I always poke it and my hand goes through it, because we have pretty thin ice in Alabama. God said, don't put your trust in the thickness of ice. Put your trust in the Lord God Almighty. And so probably our final question is found in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 27. And this one is after Jesus has calmed the sea. After He said, peace, be still. And His disciples who know Him, who know what He's taught, who's taught that He's Messiah, the Son of God, ask this question, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey Him? I believe sometimes that we have a problem of understanding who Jesus really is. Jesus is not a storybook character. He's not a long-forgotten rabbi. Jesus is not a myth. He is a man and the Son of God. Matthew 14 and verse 33, then those who were in the boats came and worshiped Him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Matthew 27 and 54, the centurion at the cross, and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that happened, and they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. John the Baptist said in John chapter 1 and verse 32, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained upon Him, and I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16, after He was baptized and the dove came down upon Him, the voice from heaven came and saying, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Martha, the sister of Lazarus and Mary, after Lazarus had died, came and asked Jesus where He had been. He said, they talked of the resurrection. She said, I know that He'll rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me, though he die, may live. And whoever believes in Me, he shall live and never die. Do you believe this? And she said to Him, yes, Lord, I believe You are the Christ and the Son of God who has come into the world. There's a boatload of questions here, but I think there's only one answer, and that answer is Jesus. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost and to save us from our sins. This morning we're going to sing a song, and if you have a need publicly to ask for prayer, for whatever's going on in your life, to be a stronger Christian, to be brought back into faithful attendance. If you have a desire to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, we can assist you in that. We're singing this song, The questions are really for you, because the answer is Jesus. We can help you. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?